pull in on 1,000
Irish
just to bring in a couple of families.
family.
All right.
One love. Peace, love, and light to everybody within the sound of my voice. I hope everyone is doing well on this wonderful Monday, Moonday, this beautiful day of reflection. Yes, indeed, there's always so much going on. But Mother is here to update you on at least what we can see and what we can hear and what we can learn. I have a lot in store for you tonight. I hope everybody is ready. Ah, man, I tell you, this world is an interesting world we live in. I know y'all know that. Very special place that we are dwelling in these days. Whew, all right. Again, happy birthday to all the beautiful Aquarians. Happy birthday to Moyo and happy birthday to Laura. Of course, happy birthday to Sister Caroline and all the other amazing soul Aquarians out there. Wishing you all so much happiness and love and peace, prosperity, joy, all that good stuff, all that good stuff. And, of course, great health. Great health is everything. Health is wealth. All right. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, and this is our 110th episode, honey. 110. Gotta love it. So I'm going to start by going into a bit of what I touched on last week, which was the two, at that time, Chinese spy balloons that we had floating above our heads. Of course, we shot it down, and the other one over South America, I don't know what happened with that one. But what's interesting is that since that time, we have had several other objects invading our airspace. We are now up to four objects that have invaded airspace over Northern American territory. Let's just say that, because it's always the Yukon, Alaska, you know, parts of Canada, but and of course South Carolina here. But it's very, very interesting. All of a sudden, we have things just popping up out of nowhere, floating above. I know that the first two things. They stopped talking about the second spy balloon that was over Brazil. I don't know why they got hushed on that one. But I know that the first one they shot down, then they said that these other objects were about the size of a small car. So that made me think that they could possibly be drones of some type. You know, of course, you have people talking about aliens. I'm like, okay, that's not, I'm not going to rule that out. But that wasn't my go-to. Because we know that the Chinese had already been spying on us anyway, so why wouldn't there be other, even possibly Russian drones, you know, trying to see what we're doing over here and what we're up to, let's just say it that way. I just think it's interesting now because in one report, I believe the object that was spotted over, give me a moment, I think over Alaska. The pilots weren't sure. You had three different pilots that were giving a description of what they saw. None of the descriptions matched, which was very weird to me because I would imagine even two out of three would see the same thing or would be able to explain it as being a similar type of object. But the fact that all three of these pilots, Air Force pilots, by the way, could not agree on what it is, what that of what they saw. So that's interesting and a little compelling because drones these days, drones look, you know what drones look like. They look like little mini airplanes. They come in many different sizes. Some can fit on your hand and other ones can be as big as your bed or, as they said, like a small car. So I'm just wondering, our government is special. Okay, you know, you've got the Republicans that wanted to come out and say, oh, why did he wait so long to blow it out of the sky? Why did he wait so long? Blah, 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 blah. And now you have other ones that are saying, well, why are you shooting things down so fast? We don't know what it is. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you need to pick which one. Okay, I definitely am of old school where we were taught that anything that invaded American airspace without permission was going to get blown to smithereens. That is what we learned as children. when you come into this airspace, if you cannot identify yourself or if you do not have permission to enter into the airspace, you get blown away. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's cute. No, that's just what happened. So the fact that it did take several days for us to respond to a Chinese spy balloon, I found that to be quite interesting. But then on the other hand, you have to pay attention to the fact that we are beholden to China for many different things in many different ways. We are beholden to China. So as much as people want to get their panties in a bunch about China, until you start bringing home towels and candles and lamps, bed frames and furniture and microwaves and refrigerators and all these other things that don't say made in China, hello, we're going to continue to be beholden to China. We are. We may not like them as individuals, meaning like people like myself and, you know, my husband and maybe others. Not saying that we dislike Chinese people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about China as a nation because of the fact that America did sell themselves out to China, you know, primarily under former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and before her through the Clinton administration as well. They were pushing so hard for international trade and the whole federal trade agreements and all these different things. They got in bed with China and Taiwan and even Indonesia and, you know, other countries where now, you know, we always make jokes about how in America we don't make anything except a mess. So you have to take a look at the money. I always talk about following the money because our government is so in bed with China to the point where we did have a joint agreement, if you will, with China with regard to gain-of-function study on coronavirus at the Wuhan Technology Center. Hello, we paid for that. We were in bed with that. We've been doing things like that with China for a very, very long time. You know, Fauci has been in bed with China for a very long time. So I'm just saying that until we can cut the strings that we can cut, I find it interesting, A, that people would be surprised at surveillance balloon or any other surveillance material and or objects because we have peed on everybody at this point. You know, America has flexed her might, damaged whole countries, you know, not just this one, but many, many other countries. And so we have a lot of enemies, you know, and a real, real hardcore enemy is going to want to spy on you. They're going to want to gain as much information as they can about you and your people and where things are, whether it's where a power grid is, whether it's where a water treatment facility is, reservoirs, things like that. So people really have to think. Like I said, it's interesting because we get anesthetized by things like, you know, entertainment and movies and, you know, what's coming out and, you know, the Super Bowl just passed, all these kind of things that people can easily get distracted by. But it does not negate the fact that we got so many enemies within and without that it definitely makes for never a dull moment. There's never a dull moment over here because we constantly have to look over our shoulder and we also have to look at our neighbor because in certain places, a lot of people got crazy-ass neighbors that are going out and doing really wild and heinous things. So, you know, the times are definitely special. But I had also touched lightly on the Russians. Everyone talks about the Russians in terms of Ukraine, but I'm talking about the Russians that are sitting in the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean not that far from us. There's a huge Russian frigate out in the Atlantic Ocean. Like, it was passing by the Azores, which is off the coast of Africa, you know, moving towards the United States. The other ship is a spy ship, which is in the Pacific Ocean, not far from Hawaii. So between being surveilled from above, 60,000 to 40,000 feet above, to having Russian ships in our seas, I definitely feel that that's cause for concern. I don't want to necessarily say alarm, but, you know, you might want to go there. And they're not saying anything to us about the Russian ships. So that's an issue. They're not saying jack bone about having Russian ships on both sides of the United States of America. That is a little alarming. It is. I was like, ooh. So if you couple that with four, probably going on five, but four unidentified objects flying over our airspace without permission, of which we have shot down, pay attention, honey. Keep your eye on the ball, right? Don't I always say keep your eye on the ball, because there's way more going on here than meets the eye. And the White House even stated that they didn't know to whom these objects belonged to or where they came from. They just shot them down. So we'll see. We're gonna see what's happening with that, because that is definitely something that is a little spooky, and we need to get more concrete information about. But I find it interesting. We're talking about four things flying overhead. In any event, currently in Turkey and northern Syria, at this point, I think we're up to about 36,000 people that have been killed. Tens of thousands are injured after a magnitude 7.8 earthquake. There's an Israeli search and rescue group called United Hatzalah leaving Turkey after 6 days due to a significant security threat. One of the issues with this particular rescue operation, especially when it comes to Syria, is that you have Syrian rebels occupying the territory, and so it's very dangerous for other rescue efforts to to go on. Essentially speaking, the people are in a state of flux. When you look at the footage, at least of Turkey, the destruction is catastrophic, absolutely catastrophic. Then you add to it that it's wintertime. It's cold. It has snowed. There's been icy rain. There's ice. It's very cold. So that has also limited the progress of the rescue mission. But on top of that, the Syrian rebels are making it very difficult for white helmets and other rescue efforts to enter into the region. You know, there's a very long withstanding civil war that has been going on over there. And so the war necessarily didn't stop or end just because of the catastrophic earthquake. You know, some people could actually want to take advantage of the situation and do harm to other individuals that are coming in to try to rescue any potential survivors at this point. So the death toll continues to rise. The officials in Turkey are trying to blame the contractors who built these buildings, and knowing that the buildings were built subpar, knowing that they weren't made up to code. They weren't built up to code. And so there's a problem. They're looking to try to sue people. But I'm like, at this point, that's just pointing fingers because the government is corrupt anyway. So they allowed these buildings to stay up, if you will. In my mind, if I am the ruler of a country and I have gotten information that states that certain contractors are building, you know, buildings and homes and what have you, or apartment buildings and schools and other structures, hospitals and so forth, and they're built shoddy, they're built subpar, then I'm either going to call for the demolition of the building, okay, or that there would be ways for it to be reinforced. Nonetheless, what I'm really intimating is that the government of Turkey was well aware of these buildings being built, you know, and not built to code. And so, unfortunately, the catastrophe is larger than it possibly should have been. You know, if these buildings were built properly, then many more people would have survived. But because they were not built right, they just crumbled like dust. And that is what we see when we're looking at all the footage. It is absolutely ridiculous. It looks like a war, actually. Now, not for nothing, there are individuals that have reported that it didn't seem like an earthquake. It seemed as if there were some types of explosions or something that were happening under the surface of the earth, which automatically took me to 9/11. But I think it's interesting because when I heard about the earthquake and I saw the damage, I was like, oh. And I wondered, because we do have technology that can do this, and it's the HARP program. I've talked about this before. The HARP program is a high-altitude radio frequency program where they're using sound, they're using sonar technology to control weather, and they are using it above ground and below ground and, of course, in our atmosphere. They are able to manipulate different things. They're able to manipulate tornadoes. They're able to manipulate disasters that used to just be called natural, but now, you know, we're able to dial stuff up. And, you know, again, I always say you don't have to believe me. You can look up the HARP program yourself. There are several different locations around the planet where the HARP exists. So one place where they started was in Australia, but they've gone all over, not Australia, excuse me, Alaska. So they have them now in different places, and they're able to make them connect and control weather in our atmosphere and ionosphere. Okay? So that, of course, made me think about that when I learned about this earthquake, because number one, it's not as if we do not have powers that be that wish for other peoples to just disappear. Just disappear, whether they die, whether they blow up, whatever happens, whether they get swallowed into the earth or they drown in the ocean. There are a group of individuals that don't want for everybody on this bad boy to stay here. So I found that interesting, and I find it interesting that such a program called HARP was actually developed and that it has come into fruition and it works. So it's very unfortunate that many, many, many people, as we see tens of thousands of people, have lost their lives. Peace be upon their souls. I think it's a horrible situation when whenever you have multitudes of people dying. But, you know, my heart goes out to their country. I know it's not the most sane place, but still, there's still people. And, you know, children and elderly people, and it's just, it's sad. So I'm hoping that things will improve and that they will not get another earthquake anytime soon. But, yeah, it's really sad. It's a very, very terrible situation. And, you know, I rightly don't know whether or not it was planned or if it just happened. But it's terrible, nonetheless. Very, very interesting. Okay. So, you know, I'm always researching and I'm always continuing to go down that rabbit hole and bring you all information that we normally don't receive. Before I do that, I do want to make a statement, and I just want to say, ultimately, because so many things are happening, it's not good. And I'm like, if we do not find a way to break the machine, it's going to break us, okay? If we don't crash, this computerized matrix is going to reboot, and it's going to come back stronger. And we really cannot go on quite this way too much longer, okay? I was having a very, very intense conversation over the weekend, and it's nice sometimes when you can be in company with individuals who are relatively like-minded when it comes to history and different things, or even if someone doesn't have a clue about what you're talking about, but they're open to learning and, you know, learning something new. And so that was basically the case. I had the opportunity to enlighten, you know, some individuals, and it was great. And then another one of my constituents was also there, and they too were concurring with what I was talking about. We were basically concurring with each other, but we were letting this other individual know of so many of these other things that most of us will never learn in school, or most of us never learned, period, in school all the way up to university studies, because, again, the machine doesn't want us to know. So you do have to be that different individual to want to seek knowledge and to, as I always talk about, buy books and watch lectures and presentations and different things and go to museums and travel and all these different types of things, because you're not going to get it in our formal institutions. You're just not going to get it. They don't want to do it. They're not going to free you, if you will. You know, if I'm trying to keep you enslaved and I'm trying to make sure I'm taking advantage of you and I'm able to capitalize off of you and what you do, you know, what you buy, everything, the last thing I'm going to do is try to free you. The last thing I'm going to try to do is make sure that you can become better than I am. And that's how they are, okay? We as Africans were not like that, but definitely a certain other group of people have come to the planet, and they can be very warlike and horrible in what they do. Nonetheless, sometimes we really fail to realize that slavery has only been illegal for about 100 to 162 years. Considering how long it was in effect and in existence, which is around 575 years in total, freedom for our people has been basically just a mere drop in the bucket when you think about it. And so we have to make sure, and I'm just talking about here in these Americas and what have you, because prior to this, we as melanin-dominant people were in control of the planet, and that was for tens of thousands of years. So even in this envelope of time that we're in, these few hundred years will still have an impact on society, as well as a cellular impact upon the people living in the time frame. Of course, this unfortunately includes the Native Americans, of whom majority of them on the east and southeast parts, Midwest top to bottom, and the west coast of North America. You know, in actuality, we must bring the truth out that we have lived throughout all of the Americas and the world way before a white person ever existed. Now, this can be difficult for some people to understand, but it's truth. Okay? And it's probably an uncomfortable moment for certain individuals, but that is the truth, and the truth is the truth. So this is when I begin again to stress reading, okay? It's also really important for us to learn our awesome history, and one of the main ways that we are able to do that is by reading the books that help to prove those facts, okay? We have been taught so much BS. It is insane. And to think that we had to learn and read and do reports and take tests to memorize bullshit, that's heavy. So when you're an enlightened individual, you not only know the bullshit, but you also know the truth. And you can stand on it, and you can refute it, you can break it down. You got the receipts, honey, when you know you know. And this is why it's so important for us to truly know. One of my other constituents was saying this weekend that he knows he's a force to be reckoned with, okay? He's a big, tall, black young brother, highly educated, self-educated as well as formally educated. He's a guidance counselor. And he knows when he steps into the room that he is showing up because he knows who he is. They cannot mess with him. They really can't. And I've always said that. My mother even told me that. When you know who you are and you know your stuff, they're not going to be able to mess with you. They're not even going to try. Because they're like, oh, okay, she knows who she is. Never mind. I need to be as honest and forthright with this individual as possible because they know who they are. I can't lie to them. And we need to have that. We need to be that. Okay? So when we really understand that our lives in every way have been bombarded with a whitewashed society, okay, which makes fun of our culture. It makes fun of even Native American culture. Like I said before, when, you know, you're sitting there and you know you have Native American blood and they're talking about your people as savages, if you don't really know your people, if you don't really understand and understand that you're Shinnecock, you're Blackfeet, you're Cherokee, you're Blackfoot, you know, you're Shoshone, you're Muscogee, you're Wampanoag, you are Iroquois, whatever, when you know who you are, if they call you a savage, it's not going to hurt because you know you're not a savage. You know your people are not savages. Okay? Very, very important. I didn't get into fights with people who called me names because you're just calling me a name and it's probably because you're jealous anyway. You know, like sticks and stones type of thing. I'm not going to bow down or come down to your level and start fighting with you because you call me something I don't like. I'm not going to do that. Okay? So we have to realize that, you know, when we don't know our amazing and regal and illustrious culture, you know, we might actually act up or act out, you know, get into an altercation with someone because we feel like they're insulting us. You know, there's a very big difference. If you know who you are and you have knowledge yourself and somebody calls you a nigger, you ain't really flexing. You're not really beat for it because you know you're not a nigger. You know you are of royalty. You know you've created every human being on this planet, and you know that you are the progenitor and creator of civilization, not colonization, civilization. So you can stand on that square, and you ain't really got to box out with nobody because you know who you are. We need our young children to know this and to have this. Our government is now making the decision to stop teaching our culture, our history in school. Then it is really up to us. We will have to be the ones to do so. So we need to put together forums. We need to put together think tanks. We need more organizations like the Ethiopian World Federation, which is a fantastic, fantastic organization worldwide. Black people worldwide. My husband and I are members of the Local 26. It is not a game, a joke, or a drill, and we're talking about conscientious black people who put our people first, not by denigrating or disrespecting anybody else, but just doing what we need to do for ourselves because we know ain't nobody going to do for us the way we need to. Nobody else is going to be able to do that for us. We have to do it. So we gotta, you know, make moves. We gotta make some real moves, y'all, for real. I often talk about how back in the day, growing up, my sister and I and my mother and father, we were all a part of a black organization called Les Amis. Now, there were other black organizations that were in existence at this time. You had organizations, the first one I think was Jack and Jill, and then you had also Hansel and Gretel. Okay, and then out of Hansel and Gretel and Jack and Jill came Les Amis. Now, some of the issues that some of the family members had with Jack and Jill was that Jack and Jill was sort of acting as if they wanted to be white. Like, white is all right. If you brown, stick around, but if you black, get back, type of thing. And so even though they were black people, I know my family, but they didn't want to be a part of it. They didn't want to be a part of Hansel and Gretel either, even though they had friends that were in Hansel and Gretel. But when they established Les Amis, which means the friends in French, it gave all of us an opportunity to come together, to travel, to learn, to grow. It consisted of about 15 to 20 black families. The parents paid dues every month into the organization. They met every other month at one of the members' houses. They put together scholarship programs for us, and they would always give all of the college and high school graduates money when we graduated and a plaque. They honored us. They took us everywhere. They took us upstate New York, and we went horseback riding and went on hay rides and had such a beautiful time. And then we went to Bermuda, we went to Jamaica. We had a most amazing time in our youth. And some of that is missing. I don't hear my constituents who have children, you know, married with children, linking up with other families and having an actual organization, an actual chartered organization, which is dedicated to the betterment of the black family and the upliftment of black youth. I'm not seeing it. You know, so if you have a group of friends, maybe who you associate with on a regular basis and your children interact with their children, maybe you all need to start your own organization and have your own charter. Again, I continue to say, if we do not begin to take control of our reality and our history, our everything, if we don't regain the control, because we had it a long time ago, if we get our control back, we're going to be okay. But if we fail to do this, we can hang it up. And I was saying earlier to my beautiful niece that white people can't afford to get rid of every black person because they can't survive without us. So they need us to survive. And even though they'll subjugate us, they'll put us in a different level, but they still need us around. Okay? So tonight, I want to share with you, this is very interesting to me, the real story of the Jacobites. And you're like, who? Yes, the Jacobites, who are the black Irish, the black Scottish, and the black British. Now, I myself have known about these peoples and other peoples who inhabited the British Islands for many years. I learned it from my mom, and then I went on to learn more through other scholars and Dr. Ivan Van Sertima and Dr. John Henry Clark and other individuals. However, I also knew that Europe was named after a black queen named Europa. And I also knew that Nova Scotia was named after a black woman named Queen Scotia. So I knew that you had black royalty that were found in tombs or burial sites that were thousands of years old. And it wasn't like they didn't know we were there. They knew we were there. In any event, these Jacobites, a majority of them were removed from the British Isles and sent into the Caribbean. Okay, they were sent to the Caribbean islands such as Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, etc. Okay, you need to check out the very well done presentation on YouTube called Jacobites of Scotland, Ireland, and England by Reeducated TV. There's also a really great book entitled The Negro Question, Part 4, The Missing Link by Lee Cummings. He actually states that he deliberately inserted 8 English white historians to show that our white brothers who were closer to the epic center did not have a problem telling the truth about the original inhabitants of Europe, that these were black Welshmen, Briton, Irishmen, Frenchmen, Russians, Germans, Italians, and Swedes, all of those who were in Europe thousands of years before so-called English arrived in 449 AD, and that this will be proven, especially by the writings of one Professor Boyd Dawkins. In 1879, he was a professor of geology at Manchester University in London. You know, most people don't know the full history of black people living in the British Islands before white people. Like, they just don't know at all. And I talk about this because, again, we occupied the British Isles. We occupied Germany, Saxony, France, Spain. But come on, y'all. Of course, Portugal. So in any event, we were living there for thousands and thousands of years, okay? Most people don't understand that King James, who's credited for writing the Bible, his original name was James Charles Stuart. King James the sixth and the first, all right, he was the ruler of Ireland, Scotland, and Britain. King James was a black man. The King James Bible is written by a black man, okay? And he was a Jacobean king, okay? King George was also black. King George was a black German king that ruled Britain during the time of the American Revolution. When we hear about King George was a black man. These white British men in the American Revolution were escaping rule from under a black king, okay? His son was King Charles. Yet King Charles' reign was cut short by conspirators who joined with the Crowley movement to take over all of Britain, and these were white people. Okay? Now, let me get this right, because I got to share this job. King Charles did not do very well. King Charles reigned, I think, for about 5 or 6 years. All right, he had the unlikely distinction of having his head cut off by the English white subjects in his realm. King Charles I wasn't the only one to suffer this indignation. When the English overran the country, they hung and decapitated the men, raped the women, burned the citizens at the stakes, the children against stones. This is a bit of history that is not taught nor reported in the annals of world history. I have another one. And some of these quotes are coming out of the book that I mentioned at the top of the show. Give me a minute. Okay. Professor Boyd Dawkins in 1879, who was the professor of geology at Manchester University in London, states, in our remote ancestry from pages 95 to 106, quote, the original people of Britain, France, Spain, and England were short black men of about 5 feet 6 inches in height. They were in England when our fathers, white English, invaded the land in 449. Our fathers were a warlike people who by 607 AD had pushed the Basque west into Wales, Cumberland, Westmoreland, the highlands of Scotland, and Devon. These black people boasted that they were from the Roman Empire. The Welsh or ancient Britons were in possession before the Romans ever came here. Okay? The Black Basque Britons have brought Okay. I got to get to the next page. All right. So it's very interesting when you start to realize exactly what has happened. What happened and who did what. I have a picture. I put a picture of King give me a minute. Yes, I put a picture of King James in the slideshow tonight because he's a brother. And basically it says that he is King Jacobus the Sixth, okay, over Great Britain, the magnate, okay, of France and Hibernia. So basically he rules, again, Britain, France, Scotland, Ireland, all those places were ruled by the black king, King James. Okay? Things begin to get a little hairy later. There's even a quote by Benjamin Franklin who says, and it's a little blurry, so stay with me. Quote, "Why should the Palatine Moors be suffered to swarm into our settlements? They will never adopt our customs any more than they can obtain our complexion. All of Africa, Asia, and America are swarthy, black. Russia, Italy, Spain, France, the Swedes, and the Germans are black," end quote. The principal whites are made up of the Saxons and the English. The Scots, the Welsh, the Irish are not Saxon or English. When Benjamin Franklin writes this essay in 1751, the black German king, George II, is sitting on the throne of England, end quote. Feel me, y'all. Who have mercy? Because, see, they want us to believe that everybody everywhere was white, that King George was white, that King James was white, that King Charles was white, that all of these people were white. And I've talked about this before, about how you cannot be royalty anywhere without black blood, which has a lot to do with what happened between the Prince Harry and Meghan situation, because Meghan is black. This is what they do. Even, I believe, Catherine, William's wife, has lineage that goes back a few generations that's black, okay? So you have to hold on and realize that no one can be royal without black blood, including the current royal family of quote-unquote England right now, and that we are the original royalty in the world, period, period. You even have huge tapestries in Germany of black royalty living in castles being attacked by white naked men on horses. And the sentries, the black sentries, are launching their arrows at these white invaders, these white naked invaders. You have a huge tapestry of that in Germany. Stay with me. As time went by, now what happens after King Charles I is murdered, he's decapitated by the Crowley movement. And I believe, I would not go say that Crowley movement was also related to probably Aleister Crowley, the famous Illuminist. I would not separate those. I would put that together. Very, very interesting. So, mind you, the black captives from Europe were sent over here. For instance, Scottish captives were sent to Barbados, Boston, Charleston, South Carolina, Cambridge, Concord, Hingbin, Ipswich, Virginia, New England, and Maryland. Excuse me. Irish captives, these are all black people I'm talking about. Black Irish captives were sent to the Amazon, 1612, West Indies, Antigua, Montserrat, Virginia, New England, Barbados, Australia, Jamaica, and Guyana. And the whales captives were sent to Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Idaho, Tennessee, Ohio, and Rhode Island. So, again, the narrative that all of the slaves came from Africa is wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Excuse me. And once the king is beheaded, all hell breaks loose. The group associated with the Crowleys is also called Hanoverans, something to that effect. And they're going to take control. And so they have. First, they have most of the Black Irish men enlist in a war to help defend the British territory, but these men, a lot of them get slaughtered. They never come back, which leaves a lot of widows and children and destitute individuals. And those are the people that they began to enslave, aside from rape and murder for fun. But again, for the record, Scottish captives were sent to Barbados, Boston, Charleston, South Carolina, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Concord, Hingham, Ipswich, Virginia, New England, and Maryland. The Irish captives were sent to Amazon, West Indies, Antigua, Mons, Virginia, New England, Barbados, Australia, Jamaica, Guyana. And the whales captives were sent to Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Idaho, Tennessee, Ohio, and Rhode Island. Now, I remember, let me think about, a little over a year ago, I believe, I did an episode where I talked about the Black Irish from Montserrat. I talked about how there was a huge exodus and how they sent people to Montserrat. But that was a drop in the bucket compared to all this right here. Like, the majority of these peoples were, I'm not talking about the people that they, the last bunch that they moved in about, like, 1940 or so. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about back in the 1600s when they literally kidnapped thousands and thousands of Black Scottish, Black Irish, Black Whalian British and sent them all to the West Indies and the United States. Like, when you look at Tom Jones back in the day, Tom Jones is brown. Catherine Zeta-Jones is brown. The Jones people are from Wales. And these were Black people. But again, when you don't know, you don't know. And you can't know what you don't know. Very interesting. Even Benjamin Franklin was talking about it. And yet and still, you know, it kind of gets overlooked a little bit. You know, people are like, eh. They tried to whitewash a lot of the pictures and stuff. They have illustrations in the book of the same picture, but with the individual looking more white than looking like a Black person. But the features are the same. So they have, you know, full lips and a wide nose and what have you. But you know, they're said that they're white people, but they're not white people. You know, this is what needs to be taught in school, period. But again, I think we're at a point now where when they keep talking about, because I heard this just the other day as well, that the whole movement to get rid of African studies and African studies and African history and Native American studies and what have you is because it shows white people's dirt. It shows how cruel and inhumane and nasty they can be, and they don't want this to be propagated. But the truth is the truth. And so what we're learning in the big picture and the bigger scheme of things is that you're going to pull all around the planet subjugate them, rape them, cut their heads off, impale their children on stakes. I mean, the stuff that was done, even my husband and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, that they actually used black babies as alligator bait. They used to just call it gator bait. They used black babies as alligator bait here. But, you know, we don't want to talk about that. It makes people uncomfortable. I'm like, F your uncomfortableness. Like, I don't care. I don't care that you were uncomfortable because you made my people uncomfortable. We're still uncomfortable. We ain't got comfortable yet. How dare you say you don't want to teach this to children, at least in junior high school? I mean, there's ways to teach. We all know that. You don't teach a kindergartner the exact same lesson, but they're going to learn the subject, though. The lesson gets more mature the older the child gets. So by the time the child's in high school, they can take the truth. You have to give it to them. I was very proud when I worked in Orange in New Jersey, and we had white teachers that were teaching that Columbus was a murderer. And they were teaching that to second and third graders, that Columbus was no saint. That was wonderful because he really wasn't a saint. He was horrible. He was disgusting. So we have to make sure we're keeping our finger on the truth, even if the truth is uncomfortable. We got stuff going on right now that is still, what, uncomfortable, grossly so. We're still being murdered at point-blank range for no reason. That's unsettling. That makes us uncomfortable. Does anybody care about how uncomfortable we are? So I'm not about to get all excited about you being uncomfortable about the truth of what the people who came to control this nation, about who they really were. Sharing the truth with regard to who was in Britain and Ireland and Scotland for thousands of years before a white, quote-unquote, English person ever came around. The massacres, this is where you get the origin of Halloween, because in Ireland and Scotland and England and what have you, now at this point, because they took over and killed all the black people and, you know, shipped all the black people away, killed the rest, now there's guilt now. Now there's some guilt and there's some fear. And so they're afraid that the spirits of those who they murdered will rise on Halloween. And so that's why they make things like jack-o'-lanterns and what have you to try to scare away the spirits of the people, because they thought that the dead would come back to life on All Hallows' Eve. And those dead people were us. Those dead people were the black British people, the black Scottish, the black Wales, the black Irish. That's the origin of Halloween. So the more you know, the more you grow, because you can begin to put things together and be like, whoa, all right. You can get things and begin to see things for exactly what they are and be like, oh, it's important. It's important. Okay? And then not only that, but once Crowley got control of the throne and got the main control of Britain and Ireland and the whole of Great Britain, they began to ask for more and more people. So in one study by a woman by the name of Gaunt, she said that they had asked for 1,000 young men and 1,000 young women to come to Jamaica. But it was well over 1,000. It was thousands and thousands of people that they sent over. And then they would request for the sugar plantation owners, they would request young girls to come and be, you know, like their bedfellows and come and sleep with them, because that way they could have their needs met. Okay? So don't think that slavery is something that just happened here in America. Please do not be misled into actually thinking that the enslavement of melanin-dominant people was only subject to this hemisphere, because it really wasn't. You had Native Americans that were enslaved in Europe and in Britain as well, brought back over. Again, knowledge is power, power is freedom. These are the things that we have to learn so that these mistakes are not made again, and also so that we can have the sense of power that is who we are. We are the most powerful people on the planet. We are so amazing and so beautiful and so strong. And there are other forces that are jealous. And so the only reason why we continue to be castigated and disrespected and treated so poorly is because we are so great. And that's something that we've got to really get a hold on. We need to understand, and overstand that we are so fantastic that that is why we're hated. Remember the commercial back in the day, and the lady would say, oh, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Yeah, don't hate me because I'm beautiful and I'm fly. Don't hate me because of that. But that's how it goes. You know, they crap on us. They take advantage of us. They discriminate against us. Everything under the sun. But we are the progenitors of everything fantastic. Okay? So, you know, continue to educate yourself. I always say continue to educate yourself, your family, your children. You know, come together with other like-minded individuals to, even if you're just throwing information around and you're just having a very wonderful intellectual conversation, it's not a bad thing. It helps to get other creative juices flowing so that you can put together, whether it's a program or a show or an event that is like for us, by us, and helps to lift our people. You know, we always have to make sure that we are reaching back to bring other individuals forward. As we move forward, we must bring other individuals with us. It's so integral to our circumstance at this time, because if you look around the world and what they're doing to us, what they're doing everywhere, what they have done and are doing, you know, again, if you made it an actual crime for a black person to know how to read, and you wonder why black people don't read as much as they should today, the direct correlation to that is because we were not allowed to read. It's not an excuse, but it is a correlation, meaning that if in your cellular DNA your ancestors were beaten, killed, castrated, and God knows what, got the eyeballs taken out for wanting to read, there may be a part of you inside of you that's like, I don't want to read. It could even be a type of phobia. I don't want to read because, you know, shoot, less than 200 years ago, you could be killed for reading. Now, I'm not giving it an excuse. I think that we should, now that we are able to, we should definitely take advantage of the situation and read as much as possible and obtain as much knowledge and get as many books as we can. But I can definitely understand why we can be reluctant to want to read. So we have to really get a hold of each other, get a hold of ourselves, and get a hold of each other. We got to try to move as a unit, okay, as we move forward and upward to change the narrative, bring the truth back to the narrative, because it's been going for so long, so we're going to have to really bang hard at it when we begin to say it over and over and over and over again, wherever we go. We have to be unabashed and unashamed and unapologetic about it. That might take some guts and some balls some of us don't really have. I'm not sitting here like every one of us has got that Harriet Tubman vibe. No, we don't. A lot of us are afraid. But the least that you can do, even if you don't want to be a freedom fighter, the least that you can do is educate yourself obtain as much knowledge as possible about yourself and the world that you live in. And each one teach one, each one reach one is one of the best things that we can do. Because, again, when we have knowledge of self, things change. Psychosis is shaped by experience, environment, parenting even. You know, we got to learn up. We must. You know, if anybody has any questions, you can drop them in the chat. You can even text me if you need to. It's not a problem. But I found that wonderful presentation, and I was like, ooh, I definitely want to drop this, because a lot of people don't look at the correlation between the British inhabitants or Irish or Scottish inhabitants of the Caribbean as being original Scottish, original British, original Irish people. We don't think that. We really don't. We don't think that the names that they were given, okay, the names that were their names, they weren't slave names. See, we get lost because we don't know. When you don't know, right? So they had names like Stuart, Andrews, Sterling, Gilbert, McDermott, McDonough, Blake even. Blake meant black. Williams, and other names. And these were their actual names. They weren't slave names. What happened was the invaders came, and they not only took their land and their home and their valuables, but they also took their names. They took their names. So we think that when someone gets, you know, enslaved and that they've taken the slave name of Andrews or Stewart or whatever, that it's, oh, it's Master's name. Master stole his name from us. How about that? Master done stole his own last name from black people. Chew on that for a second. So much of what is wrong. That's why we can't think. We have to know. We have to know. We're not going to be told in any scholastic environment, basically, the thousands of black, Irish, Scottish, and British were sent to the West Indies after the murder of King Charles I. All right? They're not going to talk about the black Jacobites. They're not going to do that. But the information is out here. The books are out here. The scholarship exists. Written primarily and predominantly by white scholars. They're aware, they're very well aware that these people were black people, and they wrote that. We have to know. We have to know. You know, again, I say, if anybody has a question, please put it in the chat. It makes it easier. You know, so feel free to put anything, put a message in the chat if you want to put a message in the chat. If you know me personally and you would like to send me a text message, you can do that too. I don't have a problem. I will read it and I will answer your question. But yeah, so, you know, I'll talk more about this later at another time, but I really just wanted to make sure that the family was more than aware, because, again, we don't get this in school, and we know why. We know why. Okay, on to my next subject. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we have crazy people out here now who are heavy influencers, right? They're called influencers, people who have platforms on Twitter or YouTube or Instagram or whatever with, like, a million people or whatever. They become influencers, okay? It's interesting. But for over, you know, hundreds of years, We've actually had wealthy, crazy people running entertainment and sports, okay, and they're the ones that actually put all the money behind the current machine to make these other crazy people become crazy people and become influencers in the first place. Because back in the day, you couldn't be an influencer. There was no internet. No one was going to find out who you were unless the machine wanted to put you out. Now, you've got people who, you know, post material, whatever, and they've got, you know, over a million followers. It's like, oh, my God, they're an influencer. But that is a double-edged sword. That could also come to bite you in the butt. But I just think it's interesting that the crazy people who made the machine in the first place and took advantage of a black man's invention called the internet, who lends itself to creating more crazy people who then have the opportunity to influence millions of other individuals. That's heavy. Got to watch out for that. So right now I want to give a super shout out to Jaguar Wright. Jaguar has definitely been under fire for a lot of the things that she has been saying. I had the opportunity to meet her, oh, had to be maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago at this point. But when, you know, she was coming out, it was her, Jazzy Fat, Nasty, there was a bunch of them, and coming out of Philly, and it was beautiful. But since then, you know, Jaguar is what I consider to be a truth seeker and one who is not about the BS. And as I have stated before, the music industry and the entertainment industry of this country is warped. It's demonic, it's warped, it's very nasty. And although you can make money and you can do what you need to do in certain instances, but the higher up you go, the wilder it can become for you. And not wild in a good way. You know, she gave a really dope interview on Real Life Productions on YouTube, and, you know, they were discussing video games. Now, I have been talking about this for decades, but I love it when other people chime in on something that I've been riding with for a minute. So I particularly do not care for video games, especially violent video games. The other ones, okay, whatever. But I'm old school. When we wanted to go play, we went outside and played. We didn't stay inside playing video games for hours and hours and hours. We didn't do that. We socialized. We had to figure stuff out. We had to learn to get along with people. We rode bicycles and went roller skating. We did all kind of stuff outside. We were not inside playing Call of Duty. So one of the problems that I have is that you have games like Call of Duty or even Grand Theft Auto, which is so horrible and so violent. I fail to see how it's entertainment, let alone entertainment for a young child. And we know that there are many young children, 10 years old, 11 years old, who are being exposed to this and who are playing these games. So how is this affecting their psyche? Think about that. You know, and mainly young men are playing like the Call of Duty or the Grand Theft Auto games, you know? But I remember even back in the day playing Lord of the Rings, playing Star Wars, playing different games. You, no matter what, you still got to kill things. You got to kill everything in order to make your points and to win. You had to kill. So eventually I learned, and I do know, that these games are going to alter your psychosis. They're going to mess with how you think because they can eventually interfere with empathy, compassion, love, kindness, things like that. Okay, they'll actually produce an individual probably with more apathy, you know, and because our brains are responsive to various chemicals that it secretes and it makes on its own, okay, we have things called peptides in our brains, and peptides are secreted by our hypothalamus gland, but a peptide is a secretion for every emotion that you feel and every feeling that you have, whether you're hungry, horny, happy, whether you want to go shopping, TV, whatever, there's a peptide that is produced to allow you to enter into that state, whatever it is that you're doing, okay? So when you secrete more peptides that are aggressive and they put your body in a state of stress, okay, which could also trigger fight or flight, but it makes your life feel less joyful opposed to engaging in activities that create happiness laughter, joy, love, and peace, etc. Your brain is secreting those peptides, and your life feels good most of the time. You know, your brain is going to secrete the chemicals, and so you will, your brain will get addicted to secreting the chemicals the most that it secretes. In other words, if you're one who is a nymphomaniac, say you just can't get enough sex, that's because your brain is producing the peptide that makes you want to have sex. It's producing that peptide more so than the peptide that says, I need to have lunch, or the peptide that says, I want to go read something, I want to research something. No, 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 it's going to get overridden, particular peptide that makes you want to have sex. And the more you engage in that peptide and that activity, it'll just get reinforced more and more and more and more. So you just become addicted to sex. It's the same thing for any other thing. Okay? So it's just interesting because when video games first came out, they were little blips on screens that you could just kind of play back and forth, and it wasn't all that graphic and it wasn't that detailed and it didn't have color. Now you've got 3D imagery and it's life, real life. You can feel the vibration in the joystick. You can feel the vibration in the steering wheel or whatever it is you're doing. You can shoot whatever it is that you're doing. If you've got the gun apparatus that you can hook up to it and you can shoot with a real gun, blah, 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 blah. You know, all this is just to help you become more and more engaged in the game. But not only are you wasting time, you're also inputting information into your brain that cancels out other information and other feelings. That young person engages in these violent games more than engaging in or experiencing happiness and joy, then they can eventually alter their brain patterns. And because the brain controls reality in more ways than most understand, you can create realities that you don't actually desire for yourself. But you can find yourself in them because it's what you've been spending your time doing. Okay? So, you know, I don't always want to sound like Debbie Downer, but there really is a very ugly and sinister plan that has been in play for a very long time. And when they changed the vibe of video games, you know, the children just shifted with it. And the parents did too, because the parents continued to buy these games as they got more and more violent, more and more intricate, more and more graphic. You know, they still continued to buy them. You know, I had a 9-year-old in elementary school who had the money for the game on him, which was like, I think, $200, and he lost the money in school. It was found, actually, by a teacher. But when he was asked what it was for, why did he have so much money on him, it was for him to go buy Grand Theft Auto. And his grandfather gave him the money for the game because Grandpappy don't know what Grand Theft Auto is. Okay? So even, I'm going to reiterate again, the music in the music industry that's happening right now. You know, the music industry does utilize black magic in order to program their recordings in order to for people to become very successful or not. But they do have witches that cast spells on the 2-inch black tape. They cast spells on the tape. And then the master is then duplicated, and all the duplicates are called slaves. This is just common knowledge within the music industry and the recording industry. However, most people don't know that the music industry is using black magic. Okay? I remember back in the day when Black Music Division was born. It was amazing. It was like all of a sudden, it was called Black Music. There was not, they didn't have another name for it or anything. It was Sony Black Music, Atlantic Black Music Division, Motown Black Music Division. It was, I found it to be slightly offensive, but I was like, whatever, I guess that's their way of identifying the music for a certain population. However, I just found it to be interesting because everything else had an actual title, like rhythm and blues or gospel or hip-hop or whatever, but all of those things came under the umbrella of black music. All right? Now, the music that we listened to back in the day is much, much different than the music that they're listening to right now. All right, they have amped it up to a whole nother level. And the newer music contains even more violence, even more suggestive behavior. I mean, you got the whole song where the chorus is just talking about Molly's and Percocet. And I'm like, what? And I remember I saw it the other day because it was actually accompanied by a really great workout video. But I'm like, this is really contradictive, because if you're doing Molly and Percocet, you can't work out like that. That's just me. But I was like, really? Why are we pushing that? And even if it's the machine that's asking for it, why are we letting them have their way? Oh, because we want to get money. We're trying to get fame. We want to get large. You know, even with the halftime performance last night from the Super Bowl with Rihanna, I enjoyed most of her performance. I'm not into the whole stripper thing and talking about getting my money, using my body and things like that. No, no, and dollar signs. No, 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 no. I'm never going to be one to propagate that, push that, or popularize that. No, I don't. That's disgusting. I don't like that. You know, I thought her performance overall was really great. You know, again, the limitations in black music, there are none. Whereas you're not going to see Taylor Swift doing a stripper routine talking about I see dollar signs. You're not going to see that. The last time you saw something even close to that was Christina Aguilera. And where has she gone? I'm just saying. And she started out as being this really cute, slightly wholesome Latino girl who could sing like a black woman, and then all of a sudden they wanted to pimp her out. So where's she? But it's only within, quote-unquote, black music that you see a predominance of gangsta, stripper, pimp hoe, do-or-die-for-money mentality. Again, where are the white artists who were talking about Molly's and Percocets and doing drugs for this or getting this hole and doing that and killing this person? How come only in black music is it okay to talk about taking another brother's life? There is not one white song that you hear that talks about taking another white man's life. I'm talking about Eminem, because Eminem goes under black music because black music is hip-hop. But only in black music are we, and then you dumbasses, yes, I'm calling you dumbasses, who put this on with your young children in the car. Now, if this is what you like on your own and you're grown and that's what you like, that's your business. But do not poison your child's mind by listening to Molly Percocet choruses on their way to school and church. Some of y'all are listening to the most ratchet music with your small children in the car, and then you wonder why he's acting out, she's acting out. Oh, because they're doing what the music is telling them to do. And y'all ain't figuring that out yet? Come on. Come on. We've got to stop following the Pied Piper. I remember when R. Kelly used to call himself the Pied Piper. Look what he got. Okay, hello. We've got to stop following any Pied Piper. You've got to understand and understand and overstand that the music industry is controlled by white Jewish men who are mainly closet gay homosexual men. Okay? They put these young brothers in positions of fellatio and all kind of crap in order to get their way. Like, I honestly believe that Puffy or Dr. Dre would probably not be homosexual if they hadn't been forced into it in the industry. And when I say forced, I mean, again, you take somebody who doesn't have the highest sense of self-esteem, you know, they're really trying to make it, and they want fame over anything. They want fame and money over anything else. That is an individual who can be compromised. I doubt highly that Puffy nor Andre Harrell or even Dr. Dre have an extensive history or collection of books on African history, African American history, Asian African American history. I doubt it. And I'm saying that because they have engaged in behavior which clearly states that they don't know who they are. You know, I'm not a fan of Puffy. He's a manipulator. He's a murderer. I don't care for him. You know, these people, you know, they take people and turn them into monsters. You know, and I'm not going to excuse the individual who turned into a monster because you had to play the game in order to turn into a monster. But still, like, you turn into a monster. You know, and God don't smile at that. Sorry. You know, I remember when Snoop Dogg was, you know, making changes and getting his life together. Like, I do not want to be a part of all this foolishness this way. I could be an empire unto myself. And what did he do? He went to Jamaica and went amongst the Rastafari in the bush and was hanging out forever there. They're the ones that told him, you're not a dog, you're a lion. That's why he came out with being Snoop Lion for a hot minute. But, of course, you know, the machine ain't going to let you have that for too long. So you got to go back to being Snoop Doggy Dog. You got to go back to that. But I remember that moment of sanity. And he's done a big, to me, 180. He's grown quite a bit. I've seen him grow in these last 10 years. Specifically, and come away from a lot of the nonsense that was associated with Death Row and what have you. He's definitely grown, so that's a good thing. But, you know, I see some of these young men out here, and they just lost their minds. They have lost their minds. You know, it's a little frightening because, you know, these are men of tomorrow, so to speak. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen those new boots. They look like cartoon feet or like Mickey Mouse feet, but they're boots. First of all, you're not going to get me in them. Second of all, please don't come around me in them because I'm gonna have to go off on you. But there was a picture on Instagram about how these are the boots that we used to wear in hip-hop back in the day, which were Timberlands. And then they're like, and these are the boots that they're wearing today in hip-hop. And these are the new, like, Mickey Mouse boots. They look ridiculous. You know, I'm seeing young black men in dresses. And I'm seeing in makeup and mascara and false eyelashes. I'm seeing stuff. And I know that this isn't your predominant nature. So, you know, whether it's Lil Nas X or whoever, everybody's getting all turned out, and it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all. You know, and then you get to throw around these statements such as toxic masculinity, you know, which is sad to me. You know, I've read and I've come to know that there's going to be a great Blue Note Jazz Festival with Robert Glasper and many of his comrades. And Dave Chappelle, I believe, is the host. It's going to be in California. And I was like, way to go. I'm like, you know, we have plans that particular weekend, but that is going to be so, so fly. And yet I'm reading comments. And again, family, if you ever want to know what's on the minds of people, look at the comments. Read the comments. You know, behind a post or even a presentation or even a TED Talk, read the comments because you can see a lot of the ignorance and stupidity in your fellow man in the comments. Nonetheless, a few individuals wanted to go in about Dave Chappelle being transphobic. And immediately my mind was like, Dave Chappelle is nowhere near being transphobic. He's not transphobic at all. But this is what they want to do when they want to try to, you know, cancel you or make you unpopular. You know, so now they're getting all excited and saying that, you know, oh, you know, why did you have to pick Dave Chappelle? Why Dave? Oh, he's so transphobic. He's this, he's that. And I'm like, really? In no way is Dave Chappelle transphobic. And obviously, they haven't watched the stand-up episodes, especially the one where he talks about his good friend who was trans and committed suicide and how hurt that made him feel. But, you know, people want to take the soundbite. Or people are getting paid by other people to cause trouble. Don't think that doesn't happen. Please do not think that People do not do stuff out here for a check. Please. That's one of the saddest things, that they've been able to manipulate and control people through money. That's heavy. That's heavy. So, again, please try to, you know, take care of your kids. Watch after your children. All right? Pay attention to what they're listening to. And please do not subject them to craziness when y'all are in the car. Please, 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 please. Because then I get them talking about Molly and Percocet and things that they have no idea about or things that they should have no idea about. I had a conversation with a bunch of 11-year-olds last summer that were talking about everything going on in the hip-hop industry, who went to jail for what, who murdered who was sleeping with who. You 11. How do you know this at 11? So parents, please, protect your children properly. Do your best, because the minds of tomorrow, I don't know how bright they're going to be. I'm praying for the best for them. I truly am. But I know that they are being bombarded. They are under attack, as are the rest of us. But some of us have more discernment as adults, and so we're not going to engage in certain behaviors and certain activities that we know we're not interested in. I'm like, I don't have time. I don't have time. So that's my reason why I'm not one to jump on bandwagons or, you know, want to look like other people or dress like other individuals or any of that. I don't ever want to be like anybody except myself. I know that I was made in the essence of godly perfection. I'm happy with that. I'm going to sit with that. You know, most of us are. You have to know that and realize that within yourself. You know, and being a melanin-dominant human makes you even more special, because melanin is a very magical particle. It makes you a very magical individual, and we can use that magic in different ways. But when we use it for good, oh, wonderful things happen. And we create a life for ourselves that's enjoyable and peaceful, and, you know, you feel accomplished because you actually did the right things. We need to teach our children that. You know, lastly, I'm going to note that a few days ago, President Biden said that we, as the United States, will be helping Ukraine as long as it takes. And I was like, oh, uh-oh, that could be a long time. Now, my question to Joe is, okay, can we get some of that money to help people right here in America? Can we allot some of that cash to help benefit homeless people? And again, I know your student loan thing fell apart, but, you know, if we could just help people kind of recover from what happened to them in COVID, because a lot of people lost their homes and their livelihood. And they're homeless now, and they have moved out to places like California and Arizona and Texas and places where it's warmer. You know, America needs help right here. And so I think it's interesting when we keep seeing billions and billions of dollars go out to another country because they're having a situation with another country. And you ain't doing nothing right here. You're not doing too much right here. We need help here. Inflation is ridiculous. The cost of food, electricity, water, cable, absolutely outrageous now. All right? Things are so out of control. You know, gas goes up and down every other week. Again, I keep seeing them pushing all these electric vehicles, but they know damn well that the grid of this country, the electric grid of this country, couldn't withstand if everybody went out and got an electric vehicle. Again, I also want to know, when you buy one, do you get a map of all the charging stations from here to California? Do you get a list of where to go to recharge your car? Because, again, My husband and I travel around pretty much. And through all the driving that we do, I don't see a whole lot of charging stations. And the only charging stations I see are Tesla charging stations. And I've never seen a non-Tesla vehicle get charged at a Tesla charging station. So where are all these charging stations? Tell me, how do we charge all these cars, especially if I want to go to California from, say, New York? Where am I getting my charges along the way? Also, I would also think it would be a great idea if electric vehicles did come with a power pack, that could at least charge you for 2 hours for you to be able to get to civilization. Wouldn't that be a good idea? I think it's a little careless that we got all these electrical vehicles and they don't come with a power pack. I'm just saying, power pack, you know, could help out a lot. Because every time we have a snowstorm or a big issue, a big storm, the cars that I see that are stuck, left out on the highway, are electric vehicles. They ran out of power in the middle of the storm. Not good. So, you know, I'm not saying that we can't help other countries. I know we're America. We have a tendency to want to do that, although we only help the white ones. But I'm wondering, again, I want to see what else is going to happen with this relief effort for Turkey and northern Syria. Those are people of color, and they have an issue with them sometimes, especially the Syrian part. You know, I just wish that, I wish we could have more peace. I know that would really be wonderful. But America needs help right here. We have so many people that have gobs of money that do nothing to help other people. And then on the other hand, we do have people who have money and they do help other people. Like, it should be a prereq if you're, you know, if you're making $25 million, that you should be able to give back. I'm nowhere near that, but I know that I was lucky to have the life that I had coming up. And so it's my charge to reach back and to make sure that I'm helping to educate and empower other individuals, period. I'm fortunate. I'm grateful for my experience, you know. And then, of course, having the knowledge I have and being the daughter of an African studies teacher who was such a pioneer in her lane. My mother was fierce in her lane. I can't just sit back and do nothing. I can't just sit back and twiddle my thumbs and be like, oh, everything will be okay eventually, and not really care about the plight of our people. We need help. I think we're so brilliant and so beautiful. We need help. You know, we're miseducated, and so we're misguided, and our priorities are out of whack. Out of whack. So hopefully we'll be able to get ourselves together at some point. We'll see. You know, time is of the essence. I understand that. There's so much happening in this world that we are, how do I say, subject to, we're subjected to. You know, a lot of it we don't necessarily control. So when things happen, We're reacting to things all the time. We're constantly reacting. I think that I learned a long time ago, instead of reacting, we must learn to respond. You know, reacting is when you're literally acting out a emotion or behavior that may not necessarily be applicable to the event that's occurring, but it feels like it, so you react instead of respond. And so even for myself, I'm going to continue to try to respond a bit better. But, you know, so much is always coming at us that it makes us reactionary. It's like we can't help it. Stuff is flying at us all the time, every day. So it makes it hard. You'd be like, oh, whoa, my God. Sometimes you just want to sit down, which is a good thing, meditate, relax. But, you know, try not to get worn out. Try not to get worn out by it, fam. Because I know, it's fierce out here. It's fierce. It's fierce. A moment out to thank the amazing Dr. James Winborn and Reverend Ron Robinson for allowing me this platform. It is my honor and privilege to present to you this information. I do a lot of research. It takes me a lot of man hours to put together one show. I know I'm always, off hiding or somewhere researching, looking something up, reading something. I'm always disappearing in my own household. But it's just so I can make sure I bring you high content and I bring you information that can help empower you and make you hungry for knowledge and make you hungry to want to know more about yourself. We're so magnificent, and the more I continue to learn, the more emboldened I become, the stronger I become, the more faithful I feel, the more connected I am to the Most High in every living thing. When I continue to receive more information and, become more knowledgeable on different subjects and subject matter, I feel empowered. And I want all of us to have that. I want us to feel that type of energy. I want us to walk with it. And to, as I said earlier in the show, I want us to show up when we go to different places. I don't want us to have our head down. I don't walk with my head down. I look anybody in the eye, anywhere, anytime. I'm not afraid to look at anybody in their eye. That's important. There's integrity there. And integrity is very important. It goes a long way. So although the machine is trying so hard to turn us into little demonic entities, it's trying so hard to have us commit crime, be greedy, be sloth-like, be gluttonous even. It's pushing us to be all that we're not. And we must put forth great effort to go against it. So again, like always, the more you know, the more you grow. When we have knowledge of self, we can fly. We can fly. We can do anything we want to do when we know who we are and we put our minds to it. We can do anything. But we will continue to be wandering around in this wilderness and be lost when we just don't know who we are. So I'm hoping that for some of my island people, I'm hoping that some of the information I gave early in the program, where I was speaking specifically about the Black Irish and the Black Scottish and Black British and Wales individuals, that maybe you've received some empowerment from the conversation. And anyone who has a name of Andrews or Stuart or Sterling or Gilbert or McDonough or McDermott or Blake or any of those things, even Williams, that you won't be shy and you won't feel bad, and you won't call your name a slave name because your name was your name. How about that? Do yourself a favor and, check out the Jacobites, of Scotland, Ireland, and England. It's on YouTube, and it's done by Reeducated TV. Check it out. It already has, 21,000 views or so, but it was a very, very powerful episode on Black European history. Phenomenal. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. And just continue to realize and cherish the skin you're in. Love yourself. Love yourself a whole lot and know that you are from the descendants of the most royal, intelligent, and beautiful people on this planet. Everywhere you go, and help each other out. Let's help each other. If you have an abundance, help out. If you have a lot of money, help out. Create programs. Even if you put together an annual event or a symposium, but use your money for good. Use your money to help advance our people. And trust me, you will feel so good about yourself when you do. So I'm grateful, family. I'm grateful. Continue to each and teach and reach throughout this entire Black History Month and, of course, all of the year, all the rest of the year. Our history is world history, and it's the untold story. It is the elephant in the room. So this time to shed some light on that elephant, okay? And let's be beautiful, wonderful people in the world, all right? Protect your elderly. Protect your children, all right? All my beautiful, real Black men out there, stand strong. You're wonderful and you're beautiful. All my real Black women out there, stand strong. You are beautiful. We are the kings and queens. We are the original kings and queens on this planet. Walk in that light. Be that beautiful divine entity. Thank you, family. You have been listening to the Black Alice from Wonderland Radio Show. I am your host, Queen Amina. I'm going to take us out with Blaze Blackbird. All right? Nice, amazing song in tribute of our beautiful people. Stay amazing out there, family. Sister Dawn, I see you. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. And anyone else, Sister Barbara, Sister Erin, Carla, KK, Roz, all of y'all, I love you. Thank you for being with me. Brother Chumba, thank you so much for being with me. Also, family, if you need some wonderful music in your life, please, please do yourself a favor and go to SoundCloud.com. Look up DJ Pitch Control, C-O-N-T-R-O-L-L. Pitch is spelled P-Y-T-C-H. He's got 100 and something mixes up there that will make you feel so good no matter what you're doing, whether you're driving, working out, cleaning the house, or you're just chilling out, or even if you're at work. Sometimes I just listen to him when I'm at work. But it just feels so good and makes the time go by nicely when I'm at the office. But, yeah, get your life. Listen to some really great music. Pitch Control is the truth. You know, he's one of the best-kept secrets in the DJ world. You know, if you know him, you know him. If you don't, get to know him. All right, check it out. Check out DJ Pitch Control on SoundCloud.com. Upcoming, we have the Columbia House Music Festival in South Carolina. That's Memorial Day weekend. All the beautiful people come out for that. That's a wonderful, wonderful event. So you can look up the Columbia House Music Project and all of the events that are scheduled by the one and only DJ Kelly Kell. If you're in the Pocono area and you go to the Pocono Bazaar on Saturdays and or Sundays, please check out the House of Anubis, which is a wonderful, beautiful jewelry and other items table or tent, I should say. It's a tent. They have so much good stuff in there. But Sister Barbara and Brother Chris are there, and they have some of the most beautiful jewelry. Please go, and if you need to buy a gift for someone or whatever, just get something beautiful for yourself. Treat yourself. They are the ones to definitely shop with. I love their stuff, so shout out to them. you know, again, family, thank you for being with me on this Monday. I give thanks. I'm very, very grateful, very grateful. Y'all have a beautiful week ahead. Stay fantastic and amazing, all right? I love you. Stay amazing, family. Okay, peace and love, and thank you for being with me. One love.
fly away before the winter comes. Blackbird, fly away. They're beautiful, right?